This is A New World Order, and I am Zane C. Weber, Chancellor of the National Council of Zane Australia, here with my colleagues from across the seas. One who puts a lot of thought into his pre-planning and then fails to deliver. And the other who just wings it and also fails to deliver.
Okay, that was very obvious.
Yeah.
But at least he expressed that I put in no effort and receive no reward, as opposed to putting in effort and receiving no reward.
So of the two of us, you're up, really.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, it's Sebastian of the United States of World America, your friendly neighborhood cat wrangler. Yep.
And I'm Andrew Schossler, most supreme magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the great Confederacy of Andropolia.
And if you're joining us for the first time, boy, do you have a lot to catch up on. We are in our third season of this here podcast, and we are all running virtual nations on a virtual nation simulator, nationstates.net. And we're trying to do it by dealing with the issues that the game presents us while sticking to our own political inclinations, or at least trying to. In our third season, aliens have been switching our brains, and they're about to hit the button again.
Aliens are very reliable.
It's, you know, that's what you want out of aliens. Mind-switching aliens in particular is the ability to rely on when they will to destroy you.
You may not agree with their methods, but at least you can, you know, anticipate the change.
Seb, do you want to explain exactly what harebrained scheme you've come up with this time?
Yes, choosing paper out of a container is so antiquated, so old tech. Why not make this some sort of, I don't know, modern, you know, chance-based system?
Yep. So the World American scientists have been working tirelessly in the last 4 minutes off air to create a new system for selecting who gets what. So we've developed a 20-sided die that you can get nowhere else from no other nation or game on the planet. In which we will each roll one to determine which nation that we procure. So as with all, you know, scientific experiments, there are some stipulations being placed on it by, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just blame the periodic table on this one. I'm not sure. If you were to roll a 2 to a 7, you would procure the nation of World America. An 8 to a 12, that can't be right.
Yeah.
Yep, 8 to 12, perfect. You would be getting... No, 8 to 12 is not right at all.
It's not right, Seb?
No, it's not.
Really? What have you done, Seb?
It should be... No, it is 8 to 12, I guess. Is it?
8, yeah, 9, it is. 10, 11, 12. For some reason, that's 5.
Yes. No, it should be 14 13. To 19, so 8 to 12. 8 to 13.
8 to 13.
Yeah, but Zane's 13 to 19.
Yes.
No, that should be 14 to 19.
Oh.
Six and six and two. That's make 20.
Thank you. Oh, no, we don't want 20. We want one extra on each end.
Yes. Six and two make 20.
Excellent.
I learned that my third day of grade 2.
Excellent. So I'm 2 to 7, Andrew's 8 to 13, and Zane is 14 to 19. If you select a 1, roll a 1, unfortunately your nation is auctioned off for veto points.
Right.
Which could lead to a scenario where one person hosts two nations.
And so we have a round of heats, and then we go into the quarterfinals. Yep. And semifinals. Then we have the round robin superfinals.
Yep.
Right.
And if you roll a 20, you just get to pick what nation you want.
Excellent. So sometime next March, we'll be bringing you this episode at the conclusion.
So
let's do it. I'm rolling.
Okay. What'd you roll?
I got a 12.
You got a 12?
So is that my own nation?
You are your own nation.
Ah, splendid. I like that.
20.
Of course you did. So you have the choice right now, Zane.
Of me or you?
I guess so.
Wait, does that override my winning my own nation?
We didn't stipulate it, so I think it's only fair to say yes right now.
I choose... Well, Andy's got his own nation, so if I choose my nation, it's going to be real boring. But if I choose someone else's nation...
That means there's only one nation left.
Yeah, which do I get by default then? Like, do I just get Zane's nation without a roll?
Wait, did we discuss that Zane can decide where each nation goes to? Is that...
No, I mean, just that he picks his own.
A 20 is pretty awesome.
We didn't... I mean, we can change the rules on the fly,
yeah,
guys.
I think I get to pick who controls whose
Maybe
nation.
I should roll then to see if I get a 20. And I can dictate time and space. I got a 4, which is my own nation.
Well... listeners, you can thank me later because I'm going to fix this boring situation of Andropolia being in charge of Andropolia and Sub-America being in charge of World America. And
troll.
Zane Australia will be in charge of all three. Oh my nations. Goodness,
that was not the agreement.
You are going to have to beg.
That was not even remotely the agreement.
My plot for world domination.
Let's see this 20.
I mean, it's right there.
I can see it, but that wasn't the agreement.
Changing the agreement.
You had to roll a one to lose your nation, and nobody rolled a one.
Yes, that's right. Zane Australia's plot for world domination is fine. We've made a treaty with the aliens, and Zane has embedded himself in the minds of all the world leaders.
Sebastian, not the agreement.
This is a very interesting situation, Seb, where with the best of intentions, you created a system that has had unintended consequences.
This is not an unintended consequence. He's just gone off book.
I think this is very...
He's gone off book.
He's just...
One time I've gone off book, mister. I've recorded a whole monologue of evilness that I'm going to play at some point during this thing.
I have no memory of this.
I forgot that. Yeah.
I've continued to forget it.
That was very sinister.
Let's see if the world's a better place at the end of this 5-episode arc.
Well, welcome to the Zane Show, what he always wanted this to be.
All right, well, who's going first then?
Doesn't really matter, does it?
I'm going to say that Andropolia is going first.
Very good. I think you'll enjoy this one. Free press too free? Citizens, politicians and businessmen have been campaigning for the government to keep a tighter rein on the media after several well-respected newspapers printed false articles and contents ranging from claims that Penguin City has been stolen by a UFO to erroneous share prices, which led to job losses and a stock market decline.
Not a joke. This is the issue I had for tonight.
Oh, wow.
Would this ruin the runtime of the episode if both at once?
No, we'll not at all. Both.
This is perfect.
Zane can run his own little experiment by with the same issue.
We've got to
choose two different options and see what happens.
Let's see what happens when this comes up in Zane Australia.
Well, Andrew, we'll take turns. What do you say? Reading the issues. There's three of them, so you do the next. Oh, do you want me to start off, or do you want to do it?
Sure, I know I can start. Over 1,000 jobs lost, clamors Dyra Ambrose, angry protester and ex-employee of Dreadex Incorporated. Dreadmax Incorporated.
Mine's Ali Baker.
Ooh. Also Dreadmax?
Yep, Dreadmax Incorporated. Must be widespread.
And why? Because the press isn't concerned with the truth anymore. All it wants is higher sales. We must forbid these rags from lying to the people and dish out heavy fines to those who try. This so-called free press has a dark side, you know. We learnt that ever since it discovered it wasn't cottage cheese they were mining up north.
What were they mining?
Probably some sort of Sub-American dark uranium.
We don't have dark uranium. We have red matter from the Star Trek reboots.
So hold papers to account and impose heavy fines on any untruths.
Okay.
And in a parallel world... This is censorship, declares Elsa Glover, editor-in-chief at the... Oh no, Andrew, what have I done?
Hebdomadal Campfest.
There we go. So who do you... I have Elsa Glover. Who do you have?
This is Ivan Garrick.
Ooh. Oh,
an arguably better name because it is Star Trek heavy.
Yeah. While carefully noting everything you say in a notepad, we speak for the people. Admittedly, some newspapers didn't check all their facts before they were published, but that doesn't merit such draconian measures at all. If we're only allowed to print the absolute truth, then how soon before we're constantly sued by politicians for libel? What's our rumor? What about our rumor columns? It'll totally destroy the business. The government must have no part in the repression of the media.
Okay. Is that the only two options?
There is a third.
Ooh.
You know that no matter what we decide, we're going to make people mad, points out Mona McKinnon, your Minister of Public Relations. But the best way to control public opinion is to tell the public what their opinions are.
Mm.
I suggest nationalizing all the newspapers and putting them under government control. That way we can tell whatever we like. After all, they're much more trustworthy than some profit-driven media moguls, right? At least we won't have to issue another public statement to tell everyone that you're not a hyperintelligent aubergine.
Are you a hyperintelligent aubergine?
Reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Okay. Reports of my death were greatly celebrated. It was a much sadder headline.
So, the options are punish newspapers for printing false news.
Yes. Now, it doesn't specify whether that's deliberately false or simple negligence would incur the same wrath.
Yeah. Then there is leave the press alone.
Yep, and let them do whatever they're doing.
And then there is nationalize the press so that you control all the news.
It's exactly gross. Right. I hate all of these options except for leave the press alone. Shockingly.
Well, interesting. Interesting that you should say that. So America's going to nationalize their press.
Oh my goodness.
And Andropolia is going to hold them accountable.
And post fines.
Oh, but I don't want to do this, but I'm going to have to veto that option on me because I'm definitely not taking control of the press.
Well,
sorry to ruin your experiment.
Then you guess me, you also are holding way. The press accountable.
There we go. Was that option one?
Yes. Sorry, yeah.
That was option one.
At least okay. We can now see, depending on, this is also fun from another point of view, we can see based on where we're currently at, how high the fluctuation of the percentages are for changes.
I think this is the wrong option. Like, I know it sounds like the responsible...
Well, it's a good option.
It sounds like the responsible way to go, but it's the wrong option.
I think Zane Straley would have gone option number two. I do think...
I haven't chosen yet.
No, I'm definitely saying...
Hold them to account.
Hold them to account. I think the right option is for people who are reported on to hold the press accountable. I think what is happening there, rather than legislating it, is just the government also is doing that through the judicial means. So but if someone says a lie that they can prove is a lie, then you sue them for slander or what have you.
Yes, but it doesn't impose the responsibility of, not the full responsibility of what they're doing, because the fines aren't necessarily... directly proportional to whatever damage they're causing, right? If papers could print whatever they wanted,
yes,
right? If anybody could report anything they liked, and it genuinely did cause harm through libel or through falsehood, they manipulate the stock market or something like that. That's then something that you can hold them to account over.
Yeah, absolutely.
But by going to this sort of fine system, so you're fining them first for being negligent or deliberately misleading, and then does that open up the door for later lawsuits of damage and things, or does it close that door permanently? Because no, they've paid their fine, they've did their time for being untrue, and to hell with whatever damage they caused, because they should have been more heavily policed in the first place.
Well, if you do something that hurts two different people.
No. What I'm saying is that by imposing this fine system, you put up a barrier in the way of people getting justice. Whereas if people are just allowed to do whatever they like and they fuck up, that's then when you can direct, hey, you screwed up in this way.
That's the difference between the two different court systems. Like just because the government says, no, what you did was wrong and you're paying a fine, doesn't stop someone going, hey, what you did impacted my business. I'm going to sue you for my lost profits.
No, but the court case for the fine has to go first.
Sure.
The other lawsuit, will always be pending whatever decision is made there. So all you're doing is putting up a barrier and delaying justice.
Bureaucracy. The backbone of any government.
Reporters often lose their jobs over fact-checking errors.
Well, fact-check then, reporters.
This actually was a negative point for me. America's political freedoms went down from very good to good.
Mine fell from average to below average.
Yeah.
And civil rights have fallen from excellent to very good.
Oh, my civil rights didn't pass the bar when it went through.
I hope you're happy.
I mean...
The Andropolis Sentinel reports...
a strong word.
Parents teach preschoolers preemptive strike doctrine.
Cheese-based computing. It might be around the corner.
Woman dies in elevator shaft mishap.
Forest ripe for plunder.
Well, very different nation.
Parents applaud government discipline.
Technology leading world America to a bright, clickable future.
activist's house burns down for no reason.
World America's favorite dish? It could be pizza.
And now you know that these all have to be true. They must be true.
I'll start. IT, pizza delivery and agriculture all up 100%.
Wow.
IT raised to 6.5%. Okay. So it's, I mean, above the 3 point whatever it was on before, I guess. But I mean, we're still really close to that zero. Black market up 23%. Furniture restoration and trout fishing 22%, and social conservatism up 13%. Do you want to do your ups and then we'll go downs?
No, I don't want to do my ups, Seb. Because your ups seem generally benign. Or at least, you know, mildly not detrimental. Mm. Corruption up 51%. Authoritarianism up 15%. Social conservatism up 8%. Ideological radicality up 4%. There has been a very different response in Andropolia.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm trying to find my corruption to see if it even went up. Okay, 8%.
8%. So corruption went up from 1.6 kickbacks per hour to 2.4. It's quite a big increase. On the downtrends, taxation down 2.5, as is intelligence and civil rights. Safety down 5, rudeness down 6, political freedoms down 12%, and book publishing gutted down 100%.
You were just printing lies. Just that, lies all the time.
That's what the people wanted.
100%
That's what they
of
wanted.
Your publishing industry was lies.
Yes, that's how you root out all those awful people, by letting them spew their crap and just making it public. Now you've given them a reason to stay behind closed doors.
With no benchmark of what is real, though, it doesn't happen.
People find the benchmark. The market finds the benchmark.
Did you know that when you're not looking at cats, they don't actually exist?
Prove it. As for my downs.
Now you can't even publish a joke in Andropolia. Thank you, Zane, for ruining the world.
Unless it's based in reality. About how funny toddlers are when they fall over. No jokes for Andropolia.
That's it. This is a line between us, Zane.
Ideological radicality down 20%. Book publishing down 13%. Mm. Not as bad as your amount of lies, but more than I'm comfortable with.
Oh yeah, mine's pretty bad, Seb, when a whole industry is ruined overnight.
I had three industries bloody get resurrected by this issue. Political freedoms down 5, rudeness down 4. You'll like this one. This is a good result for me. I think you would agree. Taxation down 1%.
Nice.
This is
was down 3, right?
It was down, down 2.7%.
So I think we can agree this was a rounding success for all of us. I'm actually unhappy because it brought down my freedoms, but the actual stat-to-stat increases were all really quite nice.
Well. Give a guy a little power and it goes straight to his head.
I was expecting this. What happened in South America to happen pretty much everywhere. I wasn't expecting the people in Andropolia to be so focused on just lying.
We like our freedom, Zane.
I understand.
Not only do we like our freedoms, we exercise our freedoms. That's the difference between Andropolia and every other backwater.
Questionable ways you can think of. Okay. Zane, Australia has an issue. I wonder what I'm going to do. It's called Now That's Food for Thought. After recent leaps and bounds in biomedical research, scientists have revealed vat-grown tissue, provoking wild controversy over its possible medical and culinary uses. There are 5 options here. There is absolutely nothing wrong that has been done here, claims one of the researchers, Dr. Marlene Brentine. Vat-grown cloned human tissue is extremely versatile when producing organs for transplantation. And knit my booties if it's not the tastiest and most nutritionally balanced thing around. Beats me why anyone could be against it.
Of course.
So that's pretty much just like, let them do what they're doing. Option number two.
No, I don't think that's the right answer, Zane. I mean, you don't want people doing anything they want, right?
They're not lying. They're not feeding you human flesh saying that it's just pleasant pork. They're saying, no, this is vat-grown human flesh, and if you want to eat it, you can eat it. Option number two. It's shocking and appalling that we could even consider adding vat-grown meat to the menu, says Stan Gruber III, the one-armed descendant of a long line of devout vegetarians. But on the other hand, we have been waiting for this major medical breakthrough for a long time. Imagine it, no more waiting lists for transplants. This will be an enormous benefit to the healthcare sector. I just think we should draw the line at eating this stuff. So, medical, yes. Food, no.
Okay. That seems like an arbitrary distinction. I mean, yeah. If you're okay with it in some applications, then what's your reasoning for...
And what's the difference of having a vat-grown liver and eating a vat-grown liver?
Exactly right. Mm.
Option number three.
By all means, legalize vat-grown meat, says Arnold Nakatomi, a master chef. Some people say that it's wrong to grow these creatures to kill them, but that's ridiculous. It's no different than breeding cattle. What's wrong with making them for spare body parts? Do I want a piece of me to have been grown in a vat? No, it's disgusting. Besides, it'll raise the cost of my insurance.
I mean, that's that. It also... I don't know if the other options are going to address it, but so far I'm kind of thinking, if you could grow anything, then what happens if you can vat grow endangered species?
Mm.
Will that tempt people, or, you know, have them develop a taste for this and then increase hunting of that animal for the purists?
Perhaps. So at the moment we've had, just let them do what they're doing. It's okay to eat. No, it's okay for medical.
Just don't eat.
Don't eat. And the other one is like, it's okay to eat. Don't put it in me. Option number four.
Or don't eat me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It was by all means legalize vat-grown meat so you can eat it, but don't grow organs or anything.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. This is all abhorrent and aberrant, declares Faith Thomas, professor from the Australian School for the Serious Study of Scientific Stuff. You can't just create meat. It's against nature. And you'll find that pretty much every academic will back me up on this one. Living things are born, or hatched, or germinated. And then there's mitosis, of course, but that's not the point. The point is that there are some things that men were not meant to meddle with. We should keep well away from the whole cloning business altogether.
That's a bad argument, because nobody's saying that this vat-grown meat is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not important that meat was ever once alive. It is meat now. It has the proteins. Who cares what its history is?
Yeah. And it's weird that it's a scientist, in inverted commas. A serious study of scientific stuff, a very important Zane Australian school.
And on the reverse side, you know, artificial organs, sometimes they're just a bit of electronics gear or some sort of mechanism that isn't even organic.
Yeah, it's just totally fabricated.
Yeah, so the idea that you would deny this because it's never been alive is really absurd. That's not an argument.
And final option. That guy has no sense of vision, says Kanye Chen, my Minister of Demographics. Why waste this invention on healthcare or cookery when so much more could be done? Mandate that all new people to be grown in vats. Disease will be a thing of the past.
I didn't see that coming.
When they break, just grow new parts. It adopts the industrial method to population management, something we've needed for a long time. And now that we finally have the right technology, I say we do it.
So he's taking something that was a curiosity and saying, no, let's adopt it for widespread cloning.
He wants to brave new worlds in Australia. It's like no parenting,
not yet,
just vat-grown humans.
Not only introduce cloning, yeah, but to eradicate live births,
yes,
altogether.
Yeah, like the mandate that everyone has to be grown in vats.
So do you have a childhood then?
Are you probably?
Are you born, inverted quotation marks, an adult?
Out of a vat. Yeah.
No, maybe. No, but...
Yeah.
Is your first day of living as an adult?
I want to know what Seb America would do here.
They're all shit, Zane.
No, they're not.
There are two options with just say, eh.
Yeah. I don't like any of them. I do like the idea of vat people, though. That's pretty funny. I mean, I've got no issues. Moral. Okay, if that option wasn't like just vat people and the option of vat people, yeah, that sounds like a good time. But when you say just vat people, it sounds like you're taking a lot of the fun out of the creative process here.
Well, it doesn't say you can't have sex. It just says that better not result in a pregnancy.
Yeah, and that's a little bit too China for me. But Zane, it's not my choice, it's yours, but I implore you to consider vat people.
Vat people. I mean, that's
it's the most fallout of the options.
That's, well, it's definitely like if an author was writing the story of Zanestralia and wanted to send it to dystopia, that would be the option.
Yep.
Like it is literally Brave New World where they're grown in vats, there's no families, and you kind of go to collective schools and you kind of get told what you're going to be and it's and you're bred for certain particular functions.
Right.
I don't think that is necessary because that's removing a whole bunch of choice from your population by saying that you can't procreate in whatever with yeah. whoever and in whatever way you want.
Number three is the most freedom-preserving choice you have. It's don't ban it being used as food, but I reserve the right to deny it being, you know,
well, it's
you
actually
know, an
saying,
organ being. Oh, it's saying nobody
ban
can have
medical.
Ah, well, then yeah. In that case, no.
Option number one is like I don't see the problem with it. Like, yeah. If people want to use it or if people want to eat it, then they can do it.
There we go.
So that's the Australian yeah. option.
Sorry, I thought number yeah. three, he was just saying, but don't put it in me. It can be used for anything, but just
no,
I.
No, it's like, we can eat it. We can't use it in our bodies.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I'm going to go option number one, because technology is good, as are civil liberties.
Really?
Well, look, it worked in South America.
Did it, Zane?
Everything works in World America.
Taxation is down asterisk. In South America.
Human tissue is grown in vats as a delicacy as well as for transplants. Cannibalism was already legal in Australia. Zane Australia, more chill than ever before, rules Zane Australia's predicted bumper harvest. Economic growth exceeds forecasts. Agriculture, up. 6.7%.
Yep. No surprise.
Everything else is less than 1%. So intelligence, average disposable income, economic freedom, scientific advancement, wealth gaps, average income, economic output, recreational drug use, civil rights, economy, nudity, human development index, and secularism, all up between 0 and 1%.
Ooh.
Because down, authoritarianism.
Down? Oh, of course. Because you're...
You can do whatever you want. At 0.78%. So there's no big downs. Well, there are a lot of them, but no huge ones. Between 0 and 1% down. Authoritarianism, weather, social conservatism, income equality, religiousness, public transport, industry, cheese exports, welfare, public education, ideological radicality, and taxation.
Interesting. Mm. The leader of Zanestralia promotes the perversion of nature.
Yeah.
But shuns Andropolia for daring to tell a joke in a newspaper.
Not all lies are jokes. Just going to put that out there.
Yes, but all jokes are lies. No, that's not true either.
The best jokes are true. Do we want to compare a stat? And if so, which one? Do we want to compare one of the big ones, maybe?
Certainly.
Because civil rights, I believe, was a thing for both of you and your rash decision-making in your own country.
And, I mean, we were misguided. We had all the information in front of us.
So, sorry, civil rights?
Civil rights?
Civil rights. Civil rights in Andropolia have been not stable, but kind of steady. There's a very narrow band that they've bounced around between, and certainly in the last 6 months or so, it's been remarkably stable. So starting off the game at 63 on the Martin Luther King Jr. units, which is measured as citizens of a nation ranked...
Rank highly, enjoy. So it's just like, if you rank highly, you have civil rights.
They rank, yes, of course. So it's just worded very
weirdly,
awkwardly. So started off at 63. The peak has been 72.5. The trough has been 57. And at the moment, it's sitting around 68. So up from the start of the game, and not much movement in the last 6 or so months.
Zaynstra has a similar graph, but with fewer downs. So we just kind of had a pretty quick growth up from 63.1 up to a high of 78.46, then kind of a plateau with a couple of downs, and we're currently at 74.67.
Okay.
We were on our peak just prior. We were on 79.3.
Wow.
But because of that little drop that we just had, we're now on 74.4. So still good, but...
Australia leading the world in civil liberties.
And all it took was dragging me down.
All it took was putting some truth back in the press.
The truth could have been there. If that's what the people wanted, it would have been there.
Yes, yes, yep, absolutely. This is the problem with populism, sir. Okay, well, that has been us for this week. If you want to find out more, you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter. Or if you want to become one of the best people in the world and have access to those 1 in 5 episodes that we record solely for our Patreons, or at least initially solely for our Patreons, you can go to patreon.com/New World Order Podcast and donate as little as $1 American a month, and that will get you access.
I record Patreon episodes without underwear.
And if that's something you look forward to listening to, please give generously. I've been Zane C. Weber, Chancellor of the National Council of Zane Australia and Seb America and World America and Andropolia, twirling forever towards the future.
I mean, Sebastian, I'm kind of like a nomad at the moment, just wandering the countryside. I don't even know whose countryside it is anymore.
And I've been Andrew Schossler, reading options for Zane.
I really dread when one of you rolls a 20 next time.
Oh, you think this is happening again? That's cute.
Until next time, gentlemen.